Well, your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. Your love lifted me higher than I've ever been lifted before. So keep it up, quench my desire, and I'll be at your side forevermore. You know your love keep on lifting higher. I said your love lifts me, keep on lifting me higher and higher. Once I was downhearted, disappointment was my closest friend. But then you came and soon it departed, and you know it never showed its face again. And that's why your love keep on lifting higher, higher and higher. Did your love keep on? Yes, that one in a million you. I now with your love all around me, I can stand up and face the world. Let me tell you, your love keep on lifting me higher, higher and higher.
Higher and higher. Thank you, D-Ray. That was awesome. That was pretty awesome, wasn't it? Weren't they awesome? Yes, they were. Woo! Thank you, D-Ray. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, David. You guys are pretty awesome, too. Say it. I am. Awesome. I am. Awesome. Don't sound like you believe it. You got to say it. I am.
I am.
Awesome.
Awesome.
I am.
I am.
Awesome.
I am.
I am.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yes, you are. You know, that's one of those things that you got to, if you want to be it, you got to say it, right? Yeah. Yeah. If you want to be it, you got to say it. You got to claim it. It's a very interesting thing, you know, thinking that I'm an awesome, right? Oh my gosh, but you are. You really are. Well, why don't we say our mission statement together? We are a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. One more time. We are a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. I was wondering if there's anyone here with us first time today. If you're first time today, you've been here before.
Been here once or twice before. I used to go here 15 years or so ago.
Okay. Well, we say namaste.
Yes.
The light within me greets the light within you. Namaste. I invite you to turn to somebody close to you and say namaste.
Namaste.
Well, many years ago, God scooped up the dust of the earth. And then he shaped it, and he formed what would become Adam. And then he breathed in him the breath of life. Then God escorted this man around the garden, showing him its wonders and delights, you know, like plants and animals and two trees. And whatever the man named a thing is what it would become. Then this marvelous genius God, right, realized all of a sudden that this man didn't have a partner, right? And then he said to himself, right, that God said to himself, it's not good for a man to be alone. This man should not be alone, and I will make him a helper. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall over Adam, and he slept. And then he took one rib, right, out of him and closed up its flesh. And then the rib the Lord God had made from taken from man, God made into a woman, and he brought her to Adam. And then this man, who was maybe 1 or 2 days old, right, if you read it according to the timeline there, says, this at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. And therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother, right? And clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. Right? You followed the timeline, right? And I read it mostly like it says in that book. You know, when I first read this passage literally, I asked myself, where does it say that Adam wakes up? Or is Adam still sleeping? Right? Some people might argue that it's implied that he woke up. But you know, you can't have it both ways. Either you read the Bible literally or you don't. Right? But then I'm not really sure if it's implied that in that text that Adam did wake up. Right? I know, I don't know about how you feel about that, but if I had spent all that time alone, 1 or 2 days, right, alone, and had never seen anything that looked like myself, and then was suddenly brought a partner, I would have been a little bit dumbfounded, right? And my mouth would have fallen open and saying something like, something cool like, wow, where did you come from? Where have you been all my life? All 2 days, right? Say you're stranded out there on a desert island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and, you know, for a couple of years, and suddenly this awesome, beautiful person came walking up to you. Would you really say, this at last is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh? And if Adam were really in a deep sleep, how did he know that this beautiful woman that was standing right in front of him really made out of his bone and flesh? Oh, yeah. That's where that scar came from. But then probably God, when God does surgery, he probably doesn't leave scars, does he? I don't know about you, but when I read this text literally, it really sounds like a bad dream. A really, really, really bad dream. Especially when you know what happens next. One day you're living in the lap of luxury with your Creator, who is your constant companion, who you have everything that your heart desires, and then your companion tells you that you need a helper. And the next thing you know, that you've been kicked out and have to fend for yourself, all because you and your helper didn't follow one silly rule. You might say to yourself, awake, my soul, awake, right? I know that's probably what I would say. It's time to wake up. Awake, my soul, awake. I'm opening up to the Christ presence, and I am allowing my light to shine. Can y'all affirm that with me? Awake, my soul, awake. I am opening up to the Christ presence, and I am allowing my light to shine. One more time. Awake, my soul, awake. I am opening up to the Christ presence, and I am allowing my light to shine. So, is Adam still sleeping? Yes. Because if you read the Bible, he doesn't actually wake up until Revelation 22, after all that stuff had happened. And he finds himself right back there in the Garden of Eden. Curious thought, right? Curious thought. When you pause and open yourself up to this question, you might say, awake, my soul, awake. You might also realize that this is a question asked throughout the Bible and other ancient mystical teachings. King David sensed this truth when he sang a song. Because, you know, David wrote all the Psalms, which were actually songs, right? I shall behold your face, O Lord, in harmony with all life. When I awake, I shall be satisfied. Awake, my soul, awake. Did Jesus recognize this metaphor when he said, let the dead bury the dead? Come follow me into true life? Or was he really trying to imply that the dead would climb up out of their graves to bury those who just died? Pretty crazy question, isn't that, right? Or how about the Apostle Paul, who wrote in the letter to the Ephesians, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is the light. Therefore, the light says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ's light will shine upon you. Another odd statement, isn't it? Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead. Used in modern day context, it may appear that Paul was writing a letter to the dead. I mean, isn't that what he's literally saying? And not to the people of Ephesia, urging those zombies, right? Inviting those zombies to rise up from the dead. Is that where the idea of Halloween really comes from? But is that what he's really doing? When we search between the covers of that thing called the Bible, we see this rather odd use of the words sleep and awake. It's repeated throughout the Bible. It's central to the theme of Jesus' ministry. And it's a theme that runs throughout the Bible. The Apostle Paul declared it was as he wrote, "For in all Adam die, for in all Adam die, and even so Christ's light shall be made to alive." I need to read that again, don't I? "For in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Wow. That's 1 Corinthians 15:22. Meaning that we have all died. Or I should say, like Adam, at the beginning of time, we have fallen asleep to our spiritual nature. And yet, as we experience the Christ presence, we awaken to our spiritual nature. Curious, right? Which is our true self. Our spiritual nature is our true self. Remember the word Christ, right? It's not Jesus' last name. Right? It's not Jesus' last name. And it's not a swear word like my dad used to use it. Right? It's a Greek word taken from the Hermetica, which refers to the living energy field, this life force that we live, move, and have our being immersed within. Throughout the Bible, the words sleep, die, and dead are used metaphorically, not literally, to imply that we are living without an awareness of God's presence, that we are unconscious of the divine in us and all around us. While the words awake, life, and living refer to being fully awake spiritually, which is actually what our soul longs to do. It's what our soul longs to experience. You know, a person can be wide awake physically, yet not awake in a spiritual sense of the word. In fact, people can go to church believing that they are doing all the right things and still not be awake in the spiritual sense of the word. Doing and being are not always the same thing. There are many people who sleepwalk through life, unaware of their spiritual self, unaware of the power, the vitality, the life force, right? That life force of the divine flowing in and through us, stirring, moving in every cell of our being. I don't believe any of us would really want to live our days in a routine, cut-and-dried manner, do we? That's no fun at all, is it? Without that feeling and wonder and intrigue of spirit of the breath of life moving through me. I know, I don't want to live that way. Y'all want to live that way? We are meant for more We are created in the image and likeness of God, of the infinite, which is energy and life. And it's time that we say, wake up, my soul, awake, and then allow this new awareness to transform us. So, have you ever wondered how God feels? I don't mean in a tangible way, like squeezing a teddy bear, like, you know, this way. It's not like squeezing a teddy bear, you know, because you can feel God that way, right? Can you? Or like when you go sit down at Panera's and you feel their loaf of bread, or any of those other places that have those fancy bread places, or even squeezing somebody's hand. Have you ever wondered how and what God feels like? And I don't mean like they talk about in the old times. In the Old Testament, who there's this angry God or jealous and vengeful or any of those really negative human emotions, as if the infinite one somehow could have human emotions. God doesn't have human emotions, does she? That's a God created in our image and likeness. That's an ugly backward concept of God. That's what Ramtha said in the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? She said, God must be greater than the greatest of human weaknesses, and indeed the greatest human strength, and must even transcend the most remarkable things of nature. So, have you ever wondered what God feels like? You know, like when Jesus was baptized by John, his cousin, down on the River Jordan. Scripture says, the heavens opened up to him and the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him and in a bodily form like a dove. And then Jesus, filled by the divine life, was led into the wilderness. How do you think that felt? To be filled by the divine breath of life in such a way? But you know, Jesus wasn't the only one who had such an experience. The Bible will record many such events. Like when the disciples were huddled in the upper room on that morning of the Pentecost festival, right? And they all gathered together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came like a sound of a rushing wind, and the divine breath of life filled the entire house. Tongues of fire appeared and rested upon each of them. All of them were filled with the sacred spirit and began to speak in languages as spirit guided them to their abilities. Wow, right? Interesting thought. That must have been a really incredible experience. To be locked in a room in fear. Yeah, they were in fear, praying. And all of a sudden there was this, to feel this burst of wind, this flood of energy, and ignited little flames on their heads and gave them ability to speak in languages that weren't theirs. Whether the author of that writing was an actual experience or he was using a metaphor, would you have to say this had to be just one of the most powerful experiences ever? What did it feel like? I think it's interesting that this experience is what the disciples, how they earned the title apostle, right? Which according to my understanding means one who knows. One who knows what? Previously, they were just known as Jesus' disciples, students of the master teacher, and after they experienced, they became known as the apostles, the ones who knew divine spirit. And afterwards, they would go out and do all the things that Jesus had done, right? Heal the sick, manifest abundance, demonstrating their knowing of the ways of spirit. What does God feel like? Awake, my soul, awake. Were these isolated experiences reserved for Jesus and his disciples? No, not at all. When I did a word search of the phrase, of phrases like the Spirit of the Lord or filled by Holy Spirit, I came up with more than 100 separate instances of the outpouring of God's breath upon a variety of different individuals. The apostles, Paul, Moses, Elijah, David, Joshua, Samson, even Gideon. Even Gideon. I'm sure y'all know that story, right? When I read such stories, I wondered what it felt like. What does it feel like to feel God's life flowing through you, filling you with power, filling you with strength and wisdom and life? What does that feel like? You know, I bet it feels really great, don't you? No? Some of you say it would make me fall asleep. No? Indeed, the infinite oneness moves and stirs in mysterious ways. This is something we all need to become aware of, that we are the experiencers. Yeah, we are the experiencers. God doesn't experience such things. The only way God can experience emotions or anything else is through you, as you experience it. God is the energy of life, and we are experiencers of that life. God feels through us and moves through us as the life force stirs and flows through every cell of our being, filling us with the essence of life. We can be open to this outpouring of spiritualized energy, or not. But that's more to the point, right? Have you ever wondered what God feels like? What would that feel like to have the divine breath pouring out upon you in any given moment? Because that's the only place you can experience it, is in this moment now. What would it feel like? You know, our life's purpose is to awaken to that point where we can feel that divine breath flowing through us, moving. That's our life purpose. The truth is, our world is in the midst of transformation. And that's why you're here. That's why you're here, right? You felt this urge, this tugging of spirit upon your heart to awaken and to make some changes at a soul level. You are among the vanguard of awakening that is rippling through humanity. As we take that next step in our evolution of consciousness, although you probably won't hear anything about it on the TV news tonight. You think? But as this new consciousness arises, the old ways of doing things will begin to stiffen up and challenge the new way of being and resist the process of change. Much of what we see on nightly news around the world is a result of this resistance to an underlying spiritual change that is occurring. Spirit beckoning to us to awaken to its prompting and take a step up to see from a higher perspective. But you know, mankind, Adam, awareness, doesn't always respond to very well to those type of nudges. But ultimately, the old ways of doing will dissolve. Just as a caterpillar must surrender its old ways of crawling along so it can be transformed into a butterfly. How do we go about preparing ourselves for the next step in our spiritual evolution? By aligning our purpose and our awareness with our inner awareness and being. By going about our daily experience in a state of spiritual awareness, or at least trying. When we awaken to our true nature and realize that our primary purpose is to express the sacred energy of life that is God, that's our purpose, and to know what God feels like as it does, it changes the way that we go about life. Through awakened being, we focus this movement on this moment now. Through this awakened being, we focus on this moment now and how the sacred energy is flowing through us and then out into the world. We focus completely on what we are doing and how our awareness, our beingness flows into what we're doing. As we do this, we become aware that there is a different vibrational frequency of awareness. Right. That's a strange thought, that there are different vibrational frequencies in our awareness. Energy fields moving all around us. As we open up to this idea, we take part in any of the daily activities in a peaceful activity. As we do this, as we open our to this idea, we take part in daily activities, performing it in peace and awareness of that activity. That peace of being creates a subtle energy vibration that flows through what you're doing. While in reality, it is an active, creative, and triggers something entirely new in you and all around you. If there's a particular task you don't enjoy doing, you like washing dishes, right? Or scrubbing the floor or toilets, right? Everybody loves to do that, right? You can at least accept that it's necessary for the highest good of all, right? In the case it's necessary to keep your home sanitary, right? So that moment, that situation requires us to do it and to do it in peace and a willingness to begin to feel the life force flowing through you. And if you can't do it in joy and wonder and bring it into acceptance, don't do it. Right? Don't do it. The peace that comes with the surrender of action turns into a sense of aliveness. It creates an energy vibration. As a result of that sense of aliveness, it stirs within us, and all of a sudden, enjoyment just bubbles up. and becomes the motivating factor in everything that we do. When you take being in the present moment the most important experience of all, right? When you make being in the present moment the most important experience of all, not living in the past or in the future, the focal point of your life, your ability to enjoy life and doing increases dramatically. It isn't the action you perform that produces the joy, but a deep sense of connectivity with the life around you and your movements and your actions flowing through you in the moment now. This is one reason people love activities like skydiving. Not that I think I could ever do that. Or rock climbing, which is something I have done, right? Or skiing. You know, everybody in here loves downhill skiing, right? It's one of my favorite things to do, right? Because they require you to focus on the movements of life in the present moment. And then we're going to find ourselves saying, "Awake, my soul, awake. I am opening up to the Christ presence, and I am allowing my light to shine." Can you all affirm that with me one more time? Awake, my soul, awake. I am opening up to the Christ presence, and I am allowing my light to shine. Well, I invite